Okay.
So today I'm talking about how to construct the shareable GPU form for data scientists. I thought many audience will take a picture of the slides. So I upload the slides to SlideShare. So if you want to take a picture, this slide is the only picture you need to take. So you can take the picture, then the QR code is the URL for the slide. Okay. So here the today's agenda. Of course, I will begin with introduce who I am, why I'm standing here. Then we'll talk about the GPU, how good is it. But also, you know, they have a problem when we consuming the GPU. And we will introduce the Asaka project, which is we decide to solve the problems. It is a GPU as service model. That means we have a GPU farm to manage and offer the capabilities. We conclude the experience of how we manage it, how we schedule the job to the right GPU. And also, we will talk about how we integrate the cloud platform, made Asaka successfully integrate with popular cloud platforms such as TensorFlow, such as the Kubernetes cloud function. And finally, I will talk about the plan, the next step. So, Chika team, I work in the CTO office, CTO SPO Chika team. Chika is short for Technology Research Innovation Group. Chika team directly report to John Lowe, who is the Dell EMC Global CTO. And inside Dell EMC, we are responsible for the innovation and working on advanced research. We look into new emerging technologies. We all from both the angle from the technology and also the how the technology can benefit the customers. We build a proof of concept for the new idea. If you heard Pivotal and Cloud Foundry Dojo before, you know Dell EMC Dojo team is also part of our group. They are responsible for getting the users' feedback to see what is their requirement, how aligned their requirement to our research. They also work on improving the development process. So one important part of our work is proof of concept. That means what I'm talking today is no immediately plan for the product. I think, I don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing to you, but I think one of the good points is I'm not standing here to selling things. We truly think we are working on some very interesting project. And if you also interested in it, I really hope hear your feedback or maybe we can have some collaboration. So maybe we do the interesting together. Okay, so my name is Lian Peng, who is principal technology at Dell EMC. I locate in Shanghai, China. I work for the cloud and SDDC initiatives in Chika. In life, I just like the image I saw in the slide. I like traveling, photographing. You can reach me with my email. And I also have Twitter account, but you know, the issue, the China level issue, so I'm not very active in it. I recommend you add my WeChat, if you have one, I don't know. So get into the topic, what is GPU and GPGPU? GPU is short for graphical processing unit. Comparing to the CPU, which we are more familiar with, it is designed for the parallel processing. Like the image in the right-hand side, CPU just like the taxi, which is fast and flexible, and GPU just like the chain, which can take more passengers at the same time to increase the performance. Increase the throughput is what the GPU optimized for. And GPGPU means general purpose GPU, which stands for using GPU to do jobs other than graphical processing. We found the scientific computing is very similar with the graphical processing. Both are based on a lot of the metric vector calculation. So it will get better performance if we can leverage the GPU capabilities. Some key features like the floating-point support in GPU that may using GPU accelerate the scientific computing become true. So since then, NVIDIA proposed a CUDA, which is the high-level API to object some complex processing on hardware, may using GPU much easier. Now, almost all the mainstream machine learning frameworks support GPU, such as Xeno, TensorFlow, and more. And leveraging GPU for accelerating the machine learning and deep learning is very hot today. You can see several sessions is talking about using GPU for machine learning. So we know GPU is very useful, but there are also have many problems when we consume GPU. So firstly, comparing to CPU, GPU is not that widely deployed. And GPU is relatively expensive. And furthermore, today we have no good objection on GPU. So when we share by different applications, it is very hard to make sure the availabilities and how to monitor in a suitable grant. I mean the suitable grants like the application level or the tier level. Because all this problem is that we hope the GPU can share remotely and accept as a service. The machine can consume the GPU's capabilities in joint isolation, even in a machine without the GPU installed. And we hope the GPU can be controlled in fine-grain, which fit into share by different applications. It will also need to be able to monitor and chase in the fine-grain level. So if we think about how to offer the GPU in the cloud, the problem will become more complex. Like how we can object the GPU resource. Today, most of the solution is based on the pass-through. You know, the pass-through solution only makes us can only expose the GPU in device level. That means if you go to the slash device in your Linux machine, you can see the one GPU accelerator is one device. That means the device level. And centrally, we are usually using the GPU for the data processing works. That means a lot of data need to transfer from the host and the device. So the TCP network may become the bottleneck. And we talking the GPU in cloud, that means hundreds of GPU hosts we need to manage. And how we can discover suitable services and in the cloud and manage the huge amount of GPU hosts. So based on all those problems, we developed the project Asaka, which exposed GPU as a service. The main feature of Asaka includes the remote GPU accessing. That means we can consume the remote GPU resource in a machine without GPU installed. More importantly, this is important, transparent to user. The design is based on the Q model that we can control the throttle. And we also consider the network with different fabric. So it can decrease the affection caused by network. And Asaka also supports the GPU sharing, which we call it 1-to-N model. That means solo GPU. But this is not like the MPS from NVIDIA. If you heard MPS before, it provides a fine-grained resource control by the term we call it the vGPU. The vGPU to GPU just like the vCPU to CPU. It provides some kind of the virtualization on the GPU. So it can share by different application or tenant. And also, Asaka supports the GPU training, which we call the 1-to-N model. That means solo GPU hosts can train together to serve as one big machine, install a lot of the GPU card. As we know, the drawback of the GPU offering today is based on the pass-through, right? So if you have experience to apply a virtual machine in the cloud, you will find the GPU device number you get always fit 2, 4, 8. That because most of the cloud provider today providing the GPU virtual machine is indoor the KAT card. One KAT card is have two GPU accelerator. Two KAT card is 4 accelerator. So you can see the problem. What if my application needs 5 GPU accelerator? It's really hard to do it today. But with the GPU training, we can get the dynamic GPU accelerator to fit your application. And with the GPU sharing and GPU training, we manage the GPU as a cluster, which also raises the requirement of managing and scheduling GPU. We decided a smart scheduling to pull in GPU and manage them. We provide the GPU service discovery and provision. For better manage the GPU, we use the vGPU grant we defined. So you can see we have different resources like the CPU, GPU, and also we have to consider different network like the TCP, RDMA. So this is the heterogeneous scheduling problem. You may know this is the NP-hard problem. It's very hard to solve it. So we have a sub-project to leverage the machine learning to solve the heterogeneous scheduling problem. So I will talk to it later. So what happened? So we have taught what Asaka project can do. So we can go deeper to see how Asaka work. So the image the overview of the project Asaka. We build a remote access model based on network fabric. So we have the client side and the server side. So and the different QoS network fabric to link them together, right? So my screen is. Sorry, seems some problem happened. Okay. So in the client side, the CUDA. So you can see in the client side, the CUDA application deployed as a normal, just like consuming local GPU. Because we did the CUDA 8-pin interception, so to the user, it is same to consume the CUDA and consume using the local GPU. It is very important because that makes sure our implementation is transparent and fit to exist CUDA application you may have today. And also fit compatible with the machine learning framework you deploy today, like the TensorFlow, these things. So the implementation is built on the Asaka GPU library. This one. So we object the GPU as the vGPU, which provide a fine-grained consume and manage the GPU device. From the client view, it is same with the GPU device. And the Asaka GPU library talk to the remote host. In this case, we support both the TCP and RDMA fabric, and they are all in the same stack. We implement the TCP and RDMA in the same stack, listen to the same port. So we can select the right fabric without interrupt any other running application. So in the server side, we implement the Asaka server. It serves the request from the GPU library. The GPU library will send the request to the Asaka server. If you queue them, they will send it in a queue. So the queue is used to control the QoS, so you may have different QoS requests. They will in different queue there. The Asaka gets a request from queue and send the to the new GPU in the server side. So you can see this is doing something like the RPC. Wait, like here. So this is the skeleton, that is the stub. And what we talk is tens and hundreds of the such hosts work together as a cluster. So they are shareable, support the chain feature, and also be able to scheduling intelligently. So this is what we call the GPU farm. The GPU farm is managed by a central controller. We call it the SAAS controller. So when we call the GPU calls a form, it means we need to manage the server in a kettle style. That's something we can borrow from the mindset of cloud computing. We object the GPU capability as a common service, which can be registering, consuming, and deployable. We build a whole cluster with console. So console is open source and proven solution to manage the service. And based on console, we build a controller manager. each of the GPU host install a controller agent, and it responsible for monitor the status in the GPU host and communicate to the controller manager. We implement the basic class manager management features, like adding a node to the cluster, remove the node from a cluster, and detect a failure and expel it from the cluster. And also, it can queue the failure node and redirect it back to the cluster. I think some key experience we can learn here is there are no hard boundary between the software and hardware. With a proper abstraction, we can share the work done in software, such as the mail service architecture. And with those concepts, we can manage the GPU form, the hardware form, very intelligently and flexible. So when we have a pool, we can manage it flexible. But there are also some special features. In our case, we have implemented the GPU chain feature. Because we own the queue inside the Asaka server, right? So we can send the request to my own GPU, but also we can send the request to another Asaka server to their queue and mark them. So after the calculation on the another Asaka server, we just get the result back and send back to the client. So this is how the GPU training work. So you can see it raises a very high requirement about the network bandwidth and respond time. So and also we are building the GPU form for machine learning and deep learning application. That means we have a high requirement about the network bandwidth between the application and the GPU form. So how we can measure the network status between the client and host, and the host each other. So we define the term network radio and map into the GPU form. It is based on the distance between two nodes. We model it according to the respond time, the bandwidth, and the hops. Then we can get the network distance between the client and the GPU host. And here is an example how we use the network radio. When there are jobs come requiring, for example, to six GPU, the controller select the nodes according to the capacity, request queue length. The request queue length here means we have queue inside the Asaka server. So that means how many requests is waiting a queue. That means the cloud of a cost. And also, we consider network radio and other factors. The detail how to snap the node we'll talk in next slide. And once the node select, we train them for the application, and the SLAM node can train with Q and serve as a big machine with 6 GPU for the Asaka GPU library. There are some experience we can learn here is when we serve GPU remotely for application and training server, the network is a key. That will affect your performance. Even this project can work a lot. So you will see a lot of the requirement on the network. Okay, we have taught how to manage the GPU host and map the network radio in the form. So let's go deeper into how we can schedule the job to the right GPU host. So firstly, this is two-level scheduling problem. The first level is we need to find a GPU host serving the job from the GPU form. Because the controller chase and monitor the host and own the latest status and store it in the GPU global state store. This space can be used to analyze for jobs. When a job comes from the Asaka GPU library, the host dispatcher will ask the strategy console. We implement the strategy can be pluggable. So you can see we have the level strategy and the queue length strategy. The level strategy is pick the node by the level radio, just as the previous slide said. And the queue length strategy for just the queue inside GPU host. With all this strategy, we finally select a GPU host for the job and return the host to the Asaka GPU library. Then there are the second level. Let's assume there are several GPU cards in one host. We need to find the right device for the cloud application, right? So in the second level scheduling, we need to consider tools to meet the CUDA application request. So inside GPU host, there is a front end. So the front end will serve the request and according to the request put to the priority queue. So you can see there are a lot of queue inside one GPU host, and each of them have different priority. And then they will finally send to the smart dispatcher. It send the request to the GPU device. Some key is pairing here is there are always several level scheduling. Is it in a more larger deployment case? They may still have some data center available zone we need to consider. So we should build an intelligent scheduling in a global view so we can do scheduling layer by layer. Okay. Our project not only is PoE GPU a service resource, we still work on the FPGA, QAT card, and et cetera. And so from the scheduling perspective, this is a heterogeneous hardware resource scheduling. And moreover, we consider the different network fabric, like the TCP, RDMA. So this is heterogeneous network fabric scheduling problem. As I said before, this heterogeneous scheduling is an NP-hard problem. So you can see most of the solution in today's product is using the greedy algorithm. We are thinking if we can have some better way than using the greedy algorithm. So we made our scheduler pluggable for the from the design and abstract the schedule API. Then we implement an external scheduler, which can easy to leverage the third-party scheduler. And you know, we are serving the machine learning guy. So we gather together and think, if we can use the machine learning to solve this heterogeneous scheduling problem. So, and also we analyze the CUDA request pattern when doing the machine learning training. So we found there was some pattern here. So maybe we can leverage those patterns to optimize the scheduling. But this is an ongoing project. So we are also looking for the result. So I don't know if it can work, but we are working on this part. And also if you pay attention on the bottom half of the image, you can find the pluggable is not only for the scheduling algorithm, but also pluggable for different cloud platform. We offering the allocation strategy as a service, which the high level abstraction of the allocation and scheduling feature. It is a long wave invasion design and easy to integrate with easy cloud platform. So as we said before, accessing GPU is transparent. So the cloud platform are able to execute the job as normal by launching a container just like any other jobs. And the Asaka GPU library will consume the GPU transparently inside the container. We know there are some machine learning framework is working together with the cloud platform, such as Hadoop, Mesos, TensorFlow, and Kubernetes. So I hope this feature can help to make the machine learning framework which have managed by the cloud platform also can use our Asaka project. And we have successfully to integrate Asaka with the Mesos. We implement a customer framework work, and also we can we have successfully integrated the Malazon. And also we integrate with the Kubernetes and Cloud Foundry. How to consume GPU in Cloud Foundry is present in the Dell EMC work last week in Las Vegas. So I copied the slide to today. So I use Cloud Foundry as an example. I'm not sure if you hear the Cloud Foundry before. Anyone heard of Cloud Foundry before? Okay, so there is a boost by IBM. IBM, there is something called the BlueMist. BlueMist is a distribute of Cloud Foundry. Your Cloud Foundry is very popular open source PaaS. PaaS is short for platform as service. It originated by the VMware, and now they have several commercial versions, like the Pivotal, of course, and also the IBM I just said, and also GE. So with Cloud Foundry, the application developer don't need to care about the hardware deployment and scalability, and also don't care the middleware, such as the massive queue, the database, or the web server. Just focus on the application. And the integration with Cloud Foundry is using the marketplace. The marketplace is a component in Cloud Foundry to manage the third-party service. For example, if my application need to use a database, you can create a database from the marketplace and bind to your application, so you can get a database. So with the integration with the Asaka, so today, if the application need to use GPU, you can also create a GPU in the marketplace and buy to your application that you can consume the GPU capabilities. So, you know, there is a slogan in a Cloud Foundry called run my app, I don't care how. So with the integration with the Asaka, so we can say run my app with GPU, I don't care how. The image in the right hand side shows the step, how does Cloud Foundry work with the Asaka. So you can see there are two perspectives. One is from the data scientist, they load some machine learning application and push to the Cloud Foundry with CLI. And Cloud Foundry will deploy in a container. And he will provision GPU service for the application. The marketplace will call the FA controller. So it will send back the GPU host, which is going to connect back to the marketplace and back to the application. So this is all the data scientist work. And from the user just consume the application task or application there, no matter. They from this side, so the application inside container can consume the GPU capabilities.
I think this is very interesting work we done. If you're interested in it, you can reach Victor Feng. Victor Feng, he's from the Dell EMC Duzhou team. His name is Chinese name, but he located in Cambridge, Boston. So the Cambridge also where the Dell EMC Duzhou team in, they are welcome to contact, and also they will do a pair programming with you. Yeah, if you're interested, you can reach him. So let's see the demo. Maybe I talk too much, it's a little hard to understand. Okay. Where's my? So the first demo is about how to add a new GPU host node to the cluster, what we call the GPU farm. So we have two nodes. The first node is 138, which will install the GPU, and Asaka service. I can see. So you can see if this REST API is the FA controller, you can query. So you can see only one node in the GPU farm, it's 138. So we open another machine, 137. So you can see we run all the data just using the NVIDIA Docker. They're very simple, we pack all the things into the image. So you can start the Asaka server, just one command. So you can see it's running. So as I said, we manage the service by the console. Right? So you can see we just run join the console, start the console, and join to the existing cluster. So you can see there are two nodes in the cluster now. Two GPU nodes can serve your application.
And you can query now their two node server location. Okay, so we have added a new node to the cluster. The next demo is about how we can access the GPU remotely. So we open a new node 135, which is no GPU and CUDA to be installed. Okay, so here's a CUDA application, very simple CUDA example that download from the internet. I changed nothing about the CUDA example. And the left hand side is where the GPU host. So later, when I run the application, actually it will run in this machine. The CUDA will go to this machine. You can see the log here. And before that, because you know a CUDA application need to compile. Because the 135 is no GPU, so of course no CUDA to be installed. So you can also use the image to compile the CUDA application. But you can also use your another machine, use MVCC to compile it also work. One thing should be pay attention here is here. You have to set the runtime share. So you will get the CUDA runtime in the runtime, not in the compile time. Then because we do the CUDA API interception, so you have to call the CUDA library we provide. So you can see, we get a binary here. This is a binary combined by the CUDA application, CUDA example. So we can run it here. I think one thing you can pay attention here is we use the common Docker command, not a media Docker. That means this is a normal container, not a media container. This is very important. You can see, I have taught how we integrate with the cloud platform like Kubernetes, like the cloud function. But the most simple way is if you don't care there are two control plane, which means the GPU is controlled by the Asaka inside the container, and your cloud platform only control the CPU and memory. You can very simple to just let your Kubernetes your cloud function run this command. It also work. So with this way, you not required to change any code, any configuration in your cloud platform. So, yeah, this is running the binary just combined. And the Asaka here is a very small toolkit because you know we have to, if we don't set any service or something, you have to talk to the SA controller to see which host I should connect to. So here is I give a very simple toolkit, Asaka. This is a binary to communicate with the SA controller and get back the host you are connected to. So we can see in the right-hand side, in the 155 node GPU installed, they run the CUDA application, get the result. But actually, it's going to the 137 or 8. I forgot. So you can see the new compilation is in this side. So this is what we can sync the GPU capability remotely. Thank you. Okay. So the next is about the fail detection. So currently we have two nodes here. So let's do some image for it. We just stop the container we start for the attack server. So you can see 137 have no attack server, so we cannot serve the remote GPU request, right? And the console will detect this value. So if you back to the API of the FA controller, you can see only the 138 is still serving now. Okay, so it is a very simple demo, but it shows you imagine you have hundreds of the GPU hosts, some of them may be failed. So you can make sure your client will not access those failed. And the last demo may be more interesting is we call the GPU training. So we have two nodes here, 137, 138. And here's a terminal of 137 to 138. This is a client 135. And we start another two terminals for the 137-138. Okay, so.
So each one of those has two GPUs?
No, you can see here. Okay, so this terminal is just show you 137 and 138 has installed 1K80 card. 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the only one GPU is already out. Yeah, only one, each is only one. Okay, so some interesting thing here. So I don't know if you can, maybe you cannot see clearly. So this is a command here. We use the Asaka dash GPU 2 here. That means we require to use two GPU accelerators for this application. And this application is a CUDA, it's a CUDA application example that's from, it's called the print GPU. So if you print the GPU device you get from your application. So you learn it. So normally you cannot run this application because you have only one accelerator in each node. But in our case, we can train it together. So we can see between two devices you get. One is from 137 and another from 138. So this is what we call the GPU training. So you can imagine you can have 100 GPU hosts. They can all train together to serve to you, so you can have 100 GPU, just like one machine install 100 GPU for you. Okay, so the last demo is about how we integrate with the cloud function. So maybe you don't very familiar with the cloud function, so you can just have a look to it. You have a CUDA application, just like I downloading from internet, CUDA sample. So it's just one command to push the CUDA application to cloud function. So you find this is running. And here is the, you will find the MVCC will run in the stage, in the push stage. They will come back to an executable binary. So you find this is similar to the demo before. That demo, I combined the CUDA application myself, but this is combined by the cloud function. And in this terminal, we tell the log from the task. So here we still the task. Here we see it failed, of course, that because we have not provisioned the GPU service and by location. So, as I said, the core function marketplace has a feature to create different services, just like create a database or something. So there is a service for the GPU Asaka, so GPU service. So just like we create a GPU for my application. And by to the code application, I just push. Okay, so successfully bind and run the task again. Oh no, this part is we saw the environment, so you can see the service has been bind to the location. So we run the task again. So you can see there's no error happen. That means the application you deploy in your Cloud Foundry can consume the GPU remotely. Maybe you can provision it from some GUI so you can buy it to your application. So just imagine you have your machine learning application, you don't care how you work, because Cloud Foundry has some Theano build pack, so you run your Theano application and put it into a container. So with the integration with Asaka, so the Theano can consume the GPU remotely. So you can see this is very interesting. Okay. I think this is. Yes, that was. Okay, so the next is the next step and the context. Using the next step of the project, I think we have several focus. First, we will continue to work on the intelligent scheduling. So, so we will try to pull the metadata from the application that we can scheduling your application, choose the right GPU host according to this application metadata. And secondly, we will complete a model the network distance. So we also, with some correlation with some network guides. So for example, we use some SDN technology like the TED or something this for the better performance. And lastly, as I said before, we try using machine learning to solve the heterogeneous scheduling problem. Maybe we can continue to complete this work. In another hand, we will keep improve the Asaka performance by using something called intelligent data movement and data preloading. And we are going to implement the enterprise features like the snapshot, rollback, and et cetera in the Asaka. And our project is not only GPU as service. We are working on leveraging more hardware resources to build a platform for data scientists. All this is in the same control stack. So you can select the right hardware resource according to your requirement. For example, we know FPGA is quite efficient when we're doing the machine learning inference phase, right? So can we use it for inference phase? And also we know there are a lot of data need to transfer between the workload and the parameter server. So can we use some complex card like 280 to compress the data before they transfer? So we are trying to leverage those hardware resources to reach what we call the global wide maximize performance. Yeah. So if you're interested in our work, you can please reach our team. You can see the Jay Howard is a DE from Dell EMC. He is the project lead. And I suggest he is the first contact you can consider that because he is very senior in Dell EMC. He knows a lot of connection. They will direct you to the right guys for different part. And also, he is a native speaker, so his English is much, much better than me, of course. And the Frank Zhao, who is located in Beijing, China, he is lead the data path. So if you have some specific GPU question, you can reach him. And also you can reach me. I'm in charge of the control path and doing the GPU farm and these things. Okay. So thank you. Any question? Great.
Thank you.
Okay.